Hello, everybody. We're going to give another minute and then we'll start.
Welcome, everybody, to this session on universal acceptance of TLDs. I think it's going to be a very informative, important, and interesting session. But for those of you that remember, back when we launched the STLD round, the trial round of TLDs in 2003 and 2004, there were very specific questions at that time pertaining to the acceptance of TLDs. People came to public forums at ICANN meetings and said, some TLDs, domain names using some TLDs do not resolve in browsers. Some browsers screen out addresses as right or wrong. And many of the longer TLDs just don't resolve or email doesn't work. ICANN should undertake some effort in that regard. And some effort was undertaken. ICANN was a lot smaller, did not have any significant communications wherewithal. Nonetheless, we embarked on certain efforts that are going to be described by this panel today. Again, as we get ready to launch new TLDs, just a personal anecdote, I received an email from somebody that had a name registered in one of the TLDs that was delegated in 2003-2004, and they went to a big corporation's website and tried to register in whatever tool they had, and he typed in his domain name and was told, sorry, you're not real. So he wrote a letter to ICANN saying, please call this big multi-billion dollar company up and fix this. So actually we did. But the more important thing is that this problem still persists, and so it's important for us to discuss it and decide, what ICANN's role in this is and how we can use the entire big ICANN, all of you sitting here and everybody walking around outside and those listening on the phone in these different meetings, and marshal these resources to do what we think is appropriate to solve this problem. And so this panel, which is a really cool panel. Is convened to discuss just those two topics. They're going to describe the history and the issue with great specificity, but also discuss what ICANN's role should be and how we can best go about and most effectively go about working on this issue. This is sort of a fun project because everything we do is good, I think, if we're careful in the way we go about it. So it's about push communications and education. And at the end, the DNS, the ability to use the DNS will be better. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Nadia, who's our ICANN's project manager on this. And she's the one who arranged for the session, has led the ICANN team on work so far and assembled this esteemed panel. So thanks, Nadia, for taking this on for us.
Thank you, Kurt. And thank you to all on the panel and as well to all who are joining here physically in Costa Rica and remotely. So quickly, I'll ask all the panelists here to introduce themselves and mention in what capacity they're here. Please, starting with Anthony.
Yes, my name is Tony Harris. I'm Vice President of the ISP CP constituency.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Min Jung Park. I'm KISA, the registry for .kr and .hanguk, the Korean CCTLD.
Morning. My name is Mohammed Al-Bashir. I'm the manager of Qatar Domains Registry and IDN CCTLD Registry.
Yes, I'm Carolyn Hoover, and I'm CEO of the .coop TLD.
I'm Andrei Kolesnikov, the head of the .ru and .rf, the largest IDN to my name.
Nadia Sokolova, ICANN.
Kim Davies, and I'm here as ICANN staff providing technical support to this project.
My name is Wei Wang, Deputy Director of CNIC. We are .cn.china CCTLD, and we're applying for, you know, Chinese new GTLD.
I'm Ram Mohan. I'm the Executive Vice President of Affilius, also the CTO, and we have the we had the fun of launching the first four-letter TLD that didn't get accepted literally anywhere.
I'm Michael Young, CTO of Arcatelos, which is a management services firm for TLD operators, registrars, and so forth. And I had the pleasure for many years of actually working with ROM on that .info launch and experienced firsthand the pain of dealing with that.
Okay, so...
I arrived late, sorry.
please,
this
Edmund.
Is Edmund. Yeah, this is Edmund Chung from .Asia. And also as co-chair of the JIG, the Joint IDN Working Group between the CCNSO and the GNSO, which is looking at this issue of common interest as well. What was a GTLD issue is now a CCTLD and a GTLD issue with the introduction of IDN CCTLDs. And of course, from .Asia, we experienced interesting results as we entered the route as well. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we'll start. Today's agenda, we're going to give a brief overview of the project, as there has been some confusion on what exactly we mean by universal acceptance. We will provide you with a few examples that we've observed, and thanks to the feedback that we received from the current TLD registry operators, we'll touch on the past work that has been done in the past by ICANN and its stakeholders. And we hope to leave the rest, most of the time that we would have left, to discussing these issues with the panel and with the audience. The issue. Internet software has compatibility problems as it checks user input against expected behavior. What expected behavior are we talking about? When you have an email or you're trying to look up website, the internet software performs some sort of validity checks, and most common validity checks include the verifying that the provided string has a TLD that is currently in the hard-coded list, or it checks the top-level domain, the string, by its length. So the typical length of ASCII, CCTLD is 2 characters. Most commonly used GTLD is 3 characters. Newer GTLDs are 4 characters and more. And IDN CCTLDs are obviously more than 3 characters long. What's ICANN's role in this? ICANN is a multi-stakeholder technical coordination body. And while we realize that this problem is not necessarily it just does not concern the technical acceptability only. It relates also to the people's acceptability. We also realize that ICANN alone cannot make a huge difference here, and we need to work together with our stakeholders as well as community overall to make a significant change. Also, to clarify, here we're not talking about what should or should not be added to the root zone in the future. What we talk about is what currently is in Internet's DNS should be working. If you have questions on UG TLDs, this is the wrong session. We also don't raise a question on the policy. If there is a certain TLD that is being blocked on purpose by a certain organization or a country, we are not here to discuss that. What are the typical acceptability issues that we discovered on our own? We did a little testing, and also thanks to the current TLD registry operators. When you type a URL in certain mass media sites, you expect it to be actually converted into a clickable link. However, that is not currently the case. And this is an example of a Skype session. So if you do a HTTP link with the .com extension, yes, it becomes a clickable link. If you do that with the more recently added ASCII gTLD, no, it does not. Same applies to the IDN, whether you type the ULABEL or ALABEL in the chat. Here is another acceptability issue. So if you go to a website and you're trying to register, here is actually quite visible hard-coded list. We don't know what the logic is used, why the certain the specific TLDs are selected here, but obviously this is a minor fraction of what is currently in the root. As I mentioned earlier, the domain validity checks that are being performed are mostly due to the improper domain checking logic, and also to a certain extent, especially when it comes to IDNs, to browsers not being updated. So obviously with browsers, it's a common solution, and by upgrading the browser, you can actually resolve the issue. However, this is much harder when it comes to fixed TLD lists. So here is an example of one open software project which uses list of TLDs, and this is a list, there is in the comment section, there is a reference to IANA list, which is being updated regularly, obviously. However, the hard-coded list is significantly shorter, and so that one, actually, interestingly, not only is missing some of the all of the IDNs and some of the gTLDs, it also misses a couple of ASCII ccTLDs that have been added recently to the root zone. Here is another example, and there is a reference stating that this list includes all the currently officially delegated TLDs, and again, ASCII ccTLDs are not included. GTLDs list actually is missing some of the real gTLDs that are currently in the root, and it also has some extras, which are not in the root. Here is an example of a regular expression. So some of you might be familiar with this. There is a formula that is used. It does not validate domains. However, it checks for properly formatted emails. And as you can see in one of the requirements here, it shows that it expects to find an email address which has from 2 to 4 characters TLD string, which obviously is okay for all the ASCII ccTLDs, some of the gTLDs, and not okay for IDNs. Activities to date. So there has been some work that was done in the past, including ASSAC publishing a paper on the issues that came up when the new batch, the first batch of newer gTLDs came out in 2001. And ASSAC provided certain recommendations which were followed, including a publishing of an informational RFC 3696 on this topic. Now, here we have ICANN activities, and I'll pass this on to Kim Davies.
Thanks. One of the areas we worked on, and this was quite some time ago, about 5 years ago, is tackling this universal acceptance project primarily with those new gTLDs in mind that had been launched in the last decade. One of the things we did is we launched a discussion forum discussion webpage, dedicated webpage. And on that webpage, we explained what the issue was, and we provided some guidance as to how to address the issue. Another thing that we did is we, as a proof of concept, deployed some beta code that explained how you can implement domain checking in a way that wouldn't be so fragile as to fail with new TLDs. Recently, we've taken that beta code and published it on an open source code development website, GitHub, and you can find the latest versions of that code on there. Incidentally, just since we posted it a couple of weeks ago, we've already received submissions from the community on how to improve it. So without even announcing that it had been posted there, we've already received some positive improvements. So what is our technical recommendation for software implementers when they come across domain name checks? I think it can be boiled down to a few simple questions. Firstly, a software implementer should think about why are they checking domain name validity. Fundamentally, I think a lot of implementers that are doing some kind of domain name check, whether it's on length or so on, don't need to do it. So they really need to assess why they're doing it, and if it's not a requirement of their application, the easiest answer is simply to strip that check out. If you think about, for example, accepting an email address on a web form, commonly a web application will send a confirmation email to the email address in order to confirm that that email address is valid. Now, if you're doing a check like that, doing a domain validity check on that same email address is not going to get you anything extra. It just adds extra ability for the system to fail. So firstly, consider, does your application actually need to check the validity of a domain name? Now, if you come to the conclusion that, yes, my application does need to check the validity of a domain name, we have an online, regularly updated, accurate database. It's called the DNS. So if you have the ability to have your application online, the easiest way to check if a domain name exists is to check the DNS. It's really a last-case scenario to rely on some kind of fixed list or algorithm. Now, there are applications where this might be applicable. For example, you have an application that's offline, or the notion of checking domain names to the DNS is a real performance issue. But those applications are very likely quite limited. So if you exhaust those first two recommendations, you might need to use a fixed list. If you do, those toolkits that I mentioned earlier provide you with some methodologies you can do to do it in a proper way. And this is just a screenshot of that repository that I just mentioned. We have 5 languages already posted, and again, they're more proof of concept at this stage, but one of the outcomes that might come from this meeting is a feeling that this is useful work to carry on, and if we get that guidance, we may invest more effort into continuing to develop these, both in the languages we've already provided and possibly in additional languages that we've seen demand for. Another thing that we might see as a potential outcome of the discussion today is increasing outreach materials that we have. Right now we have a basic web page with some of the history of this project, but you know, just brainstorming within staff, we've considered what's the best way to reach the audience that needs to fix this problem. And one of the approaches might be simply that expecting them to navigate the ICANN website to solve a problem that probably never interested them in the first place is not the best way to do it. Instead, how can we find a targeted way to explain the problem in simple terms, provide them with simple solutions, and guidance on how to implement those solutions? So it could involve developing a simple fact sheet devoted to the topic, or perhaps a dedicated microsite that is solely devoted to the topic of educating software vendors on the correct way to do domain checking. But they're just some of the ideas we've thought of, and I'm sure you have many more. I'll pass back to Nadia.
Okay, to wrap up this presentation, because we're running out of time, the joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN working group put together an initial report with raising a lot of very good questions and providing considerations on the topic of universal acceptance of IDNs. The report is currently posted for public comment, so we invite you to please review and provide your comments on that report. As a result of the consultations that we conducted with the current TLU registry operators, we are here today. We once again want to stress that the current problem is not just ICANN's problem or TLD's problem. This is a community problem, and we are inviting you to comment, suggest, and participate. TLD-acceptance@ICANN.org is the email where you can contact us if you have any of the questions or comments. Thank you. Moving on to discussion points. And we'll start with all the panelists. We'll give them opportunity to share with us what existing issues they have or had in the past. Please, everybody, try to stick to the time. I know it's really hard. I failed myself. So let's start. What are the existing issues? Anthony, if you can please start.
Yes, my name is Tony Harris again. I just want to briefly mention a historical fact that in the Montreal meeting in 2003, we were sitting on the GNSO Council and were informed with a very stern face from somebody in the audience that ISPs were filtering new DTLDs that were more than 3 characters long. This bucket of ice fell on us. We didn't know what was happening. And basically in Latin America, where I am the executive director of the Latin American Federation of the Internet and Electronic Commerce, I asked ISPs in several countries like Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Uruguay to see if they could test these new more than 3-character TLDs and what they came up with. And the response was, in a couple of days, this is an application problem. It's not being done by the ISPs. I think that's probably one of the first things that happened with this. And to not make my comments too long, I think somebody just, a previous speaker said, what would be a good strategy to outreach on this particular subject, which is not entirely an ICANN problem, but I think it does behoove the ICANN community to move on this. And one of my suggestions would be make presentations on this in the regional internet registry meetings. We had, for example, a LACNOG meeting in Argentina, which I organized last October, and ICANN made a presentation on new GTLDs, a generic presentation, and I brought this subject up. And in this type of meetings, you have the audience is all ISPs and connectivity providers, basically, and they're the people I think that need to be made aware that this may reemerge as a problem when you scale up to a lot of new domains and IDNs. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Minjun.
Hello, everyone. This is Minjun from KISA. I'd like to first thank ICANN for preparing this important session and for giving the opportunity to discuss on ways to improve the currently limited usability of TLDs, especially IDNs. I would like to talk about the case of Korea. In case of Korea, we've launched our IDN CCTLD, which is called Tatanguk, last May. And now we currently have about 220,000 registrations under Tatanguk. The number of registrations were more than successful than we had expected in the first place, which is good. But as the number of registrations grew, we started receiving more and more complaints from the users. And most of them were about mobile browser problems. We used to have some problem with PC browsers in the past, such as IE version 6 and below not supporting IDNs. But nowadays, it's more about mobile browsers. We found that based on the internal research that we've conducted, we found that the mobile Internet Explorer provided by Microsoft was not supporting IDNs on their browsers. In case of Korea, we have a very high penetration rate of the internet, and 60% of Koreans are found to use wireless internet in Korea, and 94% of Koreans in the age of 20s are using wireless internet. Most of the internet users, well, more than majority of the internet users in Korea are accessing internet via mobile. So this is a very big problem in Korea. So we've been holding meetings with these global application vendors and software developers throughout the year, last year, 2011. We had meetings with Google Korea, MS Korea, and also the mobile manufacturers such as Samsung. But had some difficulties in persuading the global companies such as MS and Google to change their current version to provide mobile, current version to support the IDNs. Especially we've had some difficulties with MS. They told us that they could not do it under the current version because of their internal policy. But they said they try to update their browser on their next version. But we have many users in Korea using the IDNs, so we would like to shorten that period to perhaps encourage them to update their current browsers. So this is the situation in Korea, and hope to share more incidents on the other countries who has adopted IDNC CTLDs like us. Thank you.
Thank you. Mohammed, please.
Thank you. I will just talk from the experience of an Arabic IDNC CTLD registries, which has been delegated between end of 2010 and early 2011. Most of the IDNC CTLDs from using Arabic script were operational, publicly operational, mid to end 2011. There's lots of issues that are facing users of Arabic domain names. For example, browser support, as my colleague said. And we had to be proactive after our IANA delegation, and for example, approach Mozilla and report our new IDN string as to be included in their TLD whitelist. And that took some time, actually. But luckily, we did manage to do that before the public registration. Still, users have issues with other browsers, vendors like Microsoft. IDN email is a major issue as well. Still, we don't have an operational, maybe commercially operation product out there in the market. Still, standards are being development under development in this area. Social media is also an area where still there's a lack of support for new TLDs. If you write an IDN CTLD, for example, in Arabic, in Twitter or Facebook, that URL is not clickable, so it's not active. Application and database is also, there's a lack of support in that area. For example, hosting control panels still don't support Arabic IDNs, so there's lots of areas that needed some work to be done in that regard. I'm not sure if I can answer the question about who should address this issue. That's a good question.
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. Thank you.
So this is a brief. Thanks.
Yes, Carolyn Hoover with .coop, and we were one of the early pioneers, one of the first three sponsored TLDs, which were authorized in 2000. So we went through many of these problems over the last 10 years. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary of our launch, and unfortunately, some of the issues still continue to exist. Initially, we had problems, such as Tony mentioned, with ISPs not passing the domains through, but luckily with their help and the help of the ISPs, that issue basically has not resurfaced for many years. We do still have the problem, however, of dealing with the non-acceptance of valid email addresses in e-commerce, and I call them e-service sites, you know, where people are buying things and where they're looking for services. And I won't name specific names. I have them on my sheet here, but I won't name specific names but certainly people trying to make airline reservations, people trying to download music, people trying to make restaurant reservations, dealing with government agencies. All of these are basically stopped because the domain name .coop is not accepted. So that's one issue, but the other issue gets to the heart of supporting the community, which is user confusion. A lot of users, when they have an email problem, simply assume that the problem is with the .coop TLD, not that they've set up their email improperly, or not that someone has not added them to their favorites list or something like that, but they expect that because it's not a three-character TLD, that it's the problem of the TLD. So we have to continually educate users, and in many cases, people just expect these things to work. And so when they don't work, they make that negative assumption about the TLD. So we certainly need to work on that, which will be covered in the next slide.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. So with the email acceptance, probably in that case, what we're talking about, we don't know for sure, unless we go and ask, if the blocking of a TLD is being done not knowingly or on purpose. And, of course, if it's not knowingly, there's something that we can do and educate. If it's done on purpose, that's another question, what I can do in that regard. Andrea, please.
Thank you. The Facebook was down 10 minutes ago, and I hope that they will improve the IDN support, but they didn't, unfortunately. So I would probably repeat the same mantra. Of course, for the IDN, for the big IDNs, which we represent in Russia, we have like 700,000 domain names. The major issue is the email support. And we already talked to our colleagues from CNNIC. We probably will do some campaigns together in order to try to push it forward. It takes time, but I think it will be resolved soon. And the social network support, especially the mobile applications, the IDNs, they're not supported. They're not supported in Twitter. They're not supported in Facebook. They're not supported in the local social networks. We have one in Russia, and I'm sure there are some in China. But I hope in China they do support the IDN, not in Russia. Another issue is the search engines, but I think it's just a matter of time. As the time goes and we have more and more content located on the IDNs, I think this issue will go on by itself because there is no need for technical improvement of this thing. It's just a matter of the marketing approach. So these are basically issues, email, social networks, search engines. Some browsers, by the way, still have some problems with the IDNs, but that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Wang, please.
The issues for the Chinese domain name, TLD in China, is about the full stop. I mean, the full width stop. Actually, we CNNIC started providing the Chinese domain name service 10 years ago, and most of the browsers support Chinese domain name very well, including IE7, IE8, Firefox, Safari. But when it comes to Opera and some local Chinese browser, it will block the domain names with full width stop. That is a little circle, not dot, and redirected to the search engine. And there's another interesting phenomenon is that even 97 support all kinds of Chinese domain name, no matter it is it contains full width stop or half width stop. Some plugin software, for example, the Google Toolbar. When you install the Google Toolbar, then the IE7 will start to block and redirect the Chinese domain name. Okay. Another big issue about the Chinese domain name is also about the email address. CNNIC focused on the email address internationalization work for a long time, and we just published a RFC about the SMTP extension last week, and the extension, the POP extension standard will be published maybe in August, but we didn't see any email engine software support the standard so far. Thank you.
Thank you. Brim, please.
Thank you. So just a little bit of history first, perhaps. You know, we started up with .info in 2001, and then we started working with .arrow around 2005. .mobi, 2006, you see a trend, four letters, not more than, you know, all more than three. And then IDNs in 2010, and, you know, most recently, .pro. So I thought perhaps give you a little bit of perspective. Before I do that, I wanted to acknowledge help and assistance from my friends and collaborators in what I'm saying, John Clenson, Greg Aaron, and Tina Dam. I consulted with them, and I really value the some of the perspective that they provided to me. So one of the biggest problems we had in .info was website registration as well as email forms. For example, as late as 2007, you could not email an article from a popular website, the New York Times, for example. You could not forward an existing article to anybody with a .info email address, which was actually fun for some because they would try to send me articles and say, oh, you didn't receive it? Maybe you should get a com. But part of the thing is that some people's code, some of the programmers who are using these sites, their code checked against a hard-coded list of top-level domains. And when new TLDs were added to the root, the old code that they had, it simply rejected attempts to send to those new TLDs. Some other code allowed all extensions of two or three characters, and in those cases, email to, say, a .biz or a .pro or a .cat worked perfectly fine, and it didn't matter that they were new TLDs. But mail to .info or .coop or .museum would fail on a consistent basis. Now, in the info case, over time, sites have solved these problems, and for the last 4 or 5 years, we've basically seen almost no complaints. But what it meant for us was to try and figure out why, what might be some of the motivations. And I have a couple of hypotheses to offer to you. I believe that in the past, non-acceptance of domains, domains at the TLD level, it resulted from the desire of application developers to provide a better user experience. So it was focused on how do we make it better. And they figured the way to make it better was to say, in validation of forms, to say if it's not two or three characters in an email, then the email is invalid, right? And that was intended truly not to restrict and block TLDs. That was intended to make for a better user experience. In parallel, there's also this phenomenon of automatic correction. There are now services that do automatic typo correction in the DNS. So if you type in something .co, it thinks maybe you wanted to type in .com. If you type in, you know, potentially .coo, it may end up saying you want to type in .coop, as an example. But automatic typo correction and automatic name completion, for all of this, application developers needed to find a reliable set of rules, and the 2-3 character rule, I think, was a useful heuristic to work with. But today, I think the problem is because applications developers, they're protecting their users. It's not anymore just a user experience problem. They're in protection of users from names that people may not understand, IDN names, from domains that may have hostile intent, as well as, you know, a determination made. I know, for example, some browser manufacturers make a determination that say that if a TLD does not have sufficient rules to protect its users or does not have proper policies, in how they use the domain name or how they allocate the domain name to registrants, the browser vendor says, we don't think you're safe, therefore we're not going to accept, we're not going to show the IDN piece of it. So inside of our company now, we've come to what's being called inside, you know, Mohan's three rules of TLD acceptance. Rule number one, an old TLD will be accepted more often than a new TLD. Rule number two, an ASCII-only TLD will be accepted more than an IDN TLD. And rule number three, a three-letter GTLD will be accepted more often than a longer string, even if it's a GTLD. So if you take that as the current state of affairs, then everything that we do is to work to overcome these rules, right? And we've done a significant number of things, including, for instance, writing letters to some of these big companies from the office of the CTO, which was really me and Michael, saying we would like for you to do the right thing and actually accept names. And Info has had success, and as the size of Info has grown, the size of the problem has reduced, but I really think it's a significant issue going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ram. You almost made me realize my promise to you, but you actually did very good with the timing. Thank you. Michael?
I'm actually going to build a little bit on what Ram said. So I actually live in Toronto, Canada, and it's a really good place for having a conversation about this issue, particularly last week because it's normally sub-zero weather in March at that time of year, but we had 17 degrees Celsius, which for those of you Fahrenheit people is almost no-coat weather, and the patios all opened up. So I sat out there with a large conglomerate of global, shall we say, developers, because 55% of the people living in Toronto were not born in North America. So it's a great place to get different perspectives and multilingual developers talking about these issues. So we sat out on the patio for about 45 minutes, and it turned into way too many beers and 3 hours later. So we kind of came up with two tracks here, universal acceptance. And then I'm going to, you know, coin a phrase maybe towards what Ram was saying about active choice to not accept TLDs, and I'm going to refer to that as universal choice. So let me talk for a second to universal acceptance. We started, these are pretty savvy developers I was talking with, so for the most part, they're well aware of IDNs, they're well aware of newer TLD issues and the upcoming new TLD issues, but they were self-admittedly lazy. And they said typically when they go to do domain name validation or something, particularly if they're switching off a language they don't usually use, first thing they do is Google code samples and grab what they see. Now, if you go and do that right now, take Ruby, for instance, and do a little Google search for those of you that are techies out there, you'll see that the domain validation examples are actually right at the top of the search results are wrong. It actually doesn't work and has no consideration for IDNs. So really what you'd like to see is a Punicode conversion in there to make the IDNs work. This is not what we want to see, and we don't want to encourage developers to go down the wrong path right out of the gate. So their advice was run an SEO campaign. Provide good code samples, and I think we can see that Kim is already working in that direction pretty heavily, so maybe expand that to more languages and run an affiliated SEO campaign to make sure when developers go out there and they throw up examples, look for examples for their code, they're seeing stuff that is valid and actually works in proper conformance with the RFCs. Now, the other thing we could be doing is linking back to these good code samples by doing postings and forums on things like stackoverflow.com. And places where, GitHub and other places where developers like to lurk and hang out on. So that's a suggestion on helping the development community move in the right direction and get it right more often. Because I think they're willing, but now let's go into the universal choice issue. Absolutely right. A lot of times it's a business decision or a policy or even a fear-based issue why they don't accept, you know, the entire IANA list of TLDs. And that's going to get worse with new TLDs because, you know, let's face it, not all TLDs across ccTLDs and gTLDs are operated equally. Not all of them have the typical same amount of abuse hits or issues in them. So therefore, they're not treated by application makers equally either, or people running online services from a business or a policy decision. So how, with all these new TLDs coming out, how with the existing ones are they going to easily determine which ones have operating policies, abuse mitigation policies that make them okay with adding them to their environment? Because to Ram's point, I can only write so many letters asking application makers to go out and do the right thing, right? So how can I make it easier for them to determine whether or not a TLD fits into the spectrum of what they think is acceptable, so that they make a universal choice towards it? So I'm going to suggest that maybe a good thing for the overall community would be to work on a common format repository where TLD operators, especially the new ones, can post their operating policies, their abuse mitigation policies in a common machine-parsable format so that those people making decisions around applications can consume that and very readily know and make their own judgments about how safe or how desirable working with a particular TLD is.
Thank you. Michael, thank you. I just wanted to do a quick comment. So it looks like you touched on the first question and the second and the third. And thank you. I think it was actually a very good suggestion. And also talking about the, you mentioned the Ruby programming language, so and posting it on GitHub. As Kim pointed out earlier, we do have tools in five languages, and this is one of the newer ones that we were considering adding. So we'd like to raise that with the community. If it is decided that it is a good language to have, then we'll definitely put our efforts into working on and adding that language as well. So, Edmund, please.
Thank you. I guess I'll first speak a little bit about the experience from .Asia and then some of the findings or some of the initial thoughts from the JIG discussion. .Asia, I think Ram and Michael and others have mentioned that when we first launched, we also experienced a number of issues. I won't repeat what was said already, but a couple that was really interesting, one of which is we saw certain browsers basically when we first launched, it redirects it to search. Because you know, basically, they in the browser they somehow try to detect whether the TLD is relevant, and it redirects. You know, if it thinks it's not, then it redirects to search. Why that is important, I think it's also an issue that another issue that of background. I think people need to think about is the some of the incentives for doing that. There are certain incentives from the industry to redirect things to search. I mean, that we should not ignore those type of incentives as we go along our discussion as well and how to address them. The other one is when .Asia launched, a key sort of market or a key area for us was small and medium companies, and often, especially when they set up a new website, they want to put it on search marketing. The problem was that Google Ad or Yahoo Ads does not allow actually you to put in a new TLD, even if you so when a small company registers a .Asia domain and wants to put an ad, once create a Google ad, it becomes a problem, and it requires a period of time before after we brought it up to them, and over time it was resolved. Now I'm happy to know that it's resolved, but to at least what we probably don't know whether it's resolved in a generic form so that future new TLDs will be accepted, or it was a sort of ad hoc addition workaround. So, and these two, I think both of which point to interesting incentives. And I think, I keep coming back to incentives is because one of the most difficult thing to push universal acceptance, we've found, is there isn't enough incentive for those application programmers to make changes, unfortunately. And how we create that, hopefully the new GTLD program with an onslaught of new TLDs might create that incentive. But I think that's one of the things that this community should think about. So that was the experience from .Asia. And I'll point out a few things. The JIG report that they went out for public comment also identified, I think there are three areas that I want to highlight, which I think is very relevant to the discussion. One of which is I talked about when .Asia was introduced, it was for some browsers it was redirected to search. That actually comes to a point that I can I think a policy of the unique authoritative route. That is also a sometimes people don't. When the JIC first discussed it, this issue was raised, and it was debated whether it is part of universal acceptance. But more, after more discussion, we realized that it is. There are two reasons. One of which is that if the TLD lists are out of sync, that essentially means that we lose the unique authoritative route. The second part, which is even worse, is the potential to, if these static lists or emerging industry standards, like the even like the Mozilla public suffix list, if in the future, it not only becomes out of sync, but additional TLDs are added, I think that becomes certainly an issue of unique authority, that related to unique authoritative route. So in that, it's what the JIG, in the JIG discussion, one particular thing that came up was interesting. I think Kim mentioned that, looking up the DNS, of course, is probably the easiest. But there are certain, the reason for, what we found is that the reason for certain lists to be created, emerging industry standards like the Mozilla public suffix list, there are possibly services that they provide that is beyond the DNS. And whether those services or some of those services should be provided by IANA, for example, is also of, I think, of value for this community to think about. Because perhaps simply providing the root zone file, is that enough? IANA already provides the whois, the root whois. Is there, are there additional pieces of information that might actually fill the gap for the community, the developers, so that they can actually use those services from IANA and ICANN. So that's one. The other one is we keep coming back to whether there are policy aspects that that ICANN can look into on this particular issue, and we at least found one of which is
Edmund,
kind of, sorry.
I'm so sorry. JIG report is open for public comment. I believe it ends on the 23rd of March. So we suggest to everyone, Edmund had very good points summarizing what's in the report. So please take a look at this. Also, to point out from the comments that Edmund made, so I think there's a question for when talking about acceptability issues. He mentioned the incentives that e-commerce websites or developers see in making sure that TLDs are accepted. So I think there are two things, incentives and also awareness. So do they really know that that is the case? So I think that needs to be differentiated. So thank you, Edmund, and I'm sorry. We have to cut it short so we can move on. Before we move to second and third questions, is there anyone in the audience who has something to comment on the current issues? As I mentioned earlier, we talked to TLD registry operators and we collected their feedback about the current issues, but we were also informed by some end users about the current acceptability issues. So if there's anyone, please speak up.
Just dead. Oh, there we go. My name is Andrew Sullivan. There is one issue that hasn't been touched on here, and that is that you're going to have static lists in these applications, and there's no way to get around that because a lot of those applications don't have a way of looking things up. They're not online. And because or they're mobile applications, and they're not going to do it in real time all the time because turning on the radio is expensive. So there's no way to get around static lists, and we're just going to have to live with that fact. And what that means is that sometimes when you have a new TLD launched, you've got this long tail, right? You've got deployed software, and people are not going to upgrade their software just because we decided to expand the namespace.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone on the panel who wants to comment on that?
Andrew, thanks. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I guess we're moving into question three, what are the things that ICANN can do, right? And perhaps one of the things that ICANN can do is to not only update that list, but to maintain some sort of a validated place that both the mobile application developers or the mobile applications as well as other applications that want to take the list and keep it up to date, they can keep coming and getting it because I don't think there is actually a validated spot somewhere, and that's something concrete that ICANN can do. I know there is currently a particular repository, but my perspective is that the search list or a cache list, for example, would be a useful thing that ICANN can do.
Okay, and Michael, did you want to say something?
Well, I think Ram covered pretty much my thoughts. I might add that, you know, these are considerations that a new TLD operator that's preparing for a launch should consider in their communications efforts and their marketing efforts and so forth, because they're going to have to think ahead of these things rather than be reactive. If we could do .info over again, there's a lot of things we would have done proactively that, you know, we learned the hard way.
So just coming on Ram's suggestion, the toolkit that we provide right now does provide some of that functionality. As I mentioned, we do recognize that there are applications that are not suited for a real-time lookup using the DNS and do need to check the validity of say, the TLD. The approach we've taken is we publish a dedicated list of valid TLDs that's updated in sync with the root zone. Means that software doesn't need to understand DNS zone master files, but can get that list. And the approach in our proof of concept software does speak to things like caching. Ideally, if you do need to have a list, it's better not to compile it statically into your application where it's kind of fixed, but where possible, get the latest version, cache it in your application, use that cache version whenever your application is offline or it's undesirable to make that kind of connection. But we can certainly build on what we've done, and I think we'll take guidance on where most effectively we can channel the resources into bolstering the approaches that we have, whether it's public suffix list or improving the SDK or what have you.
Okay. Are there any questions on remote participation?
Hi. Yes, my name is Naila Saras. I'm reading a comment on behalf of someone from the chat room, and I didn't ask the name, but I think it's the handle is Dicey8. The comment says existing registries should communicate their plans to native users who still don't know IDNs. Existing GTLD will ever get its native transliterations and be 100% in the native language. Knowing that may motivate towards solving acceptance/application issues.
Okay, we appreciate that comment. Moving to second and third questions, and you can see who should be addressing the existing issues and how can ICANN promote universal acceptance of all domains effectively. So we kind of welcome the two together, and we'll start with our panelists, if it makes sense to go in order, or if how does everybody feel? Tony?
Yes, my concluding remark would be I think we have to be very attentive to what's going to happen from here on. It doesn't look like everything is resolved.
Okay, thank you. Minjun?
I would like to first say that I'm very pleased to hear that the Data Asia case about the online ad has been resolved, because we're still having the online service not supporting IDNs in Korea in the case of Korean CCTLDs. So I would like to ask ICANN to encourage the participation of the all the stakeholders to engage in this kind of discussion, because it's really hard for us to approach to these global companies and to find the right person to talk to. And we've been trying to do it for the last 2 years, but we've had some positive changes, but we're still facing some difficulties. So I think it'd be better to have a discussion and inviting all these participants in one place, perhaps, and to share our cases around the world, and perhaps it would help in shortening up the time to upgrade their browsers and to update their services to benefit the users of the IDN TLDs in the world. Well, this is my closing remark, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Regarding question two, who should address this? I think community with ICANN should work collaboratively in this area, specifically registries. Registries could engage locally in awareness and capacity building activities within their territories. They could also engage in research and development, either themselves or partnering with other stakeholders like academia or research centers. Because it's important for registries also to ensure that their TLDs are used in a friendly way and accessible way by the users. So this is from the registry side. There's work that needs to be done, and we need to be proactive in handling this issue. ICANN role, I think ICANN could play an important role, because ICANN have the global reach, and the major software and application vendors, definitely they will be listening to ICANN, other than listening to individual registries complaining about our TLD issues with their applications. So ICANN need to work with the community to in that regard. I think also ICANN need to establish some sort of a communication with those major providers or software application developers. For example, I can name two in terms of social media, Facebook and Twitter, and there's others. And ensure that the whole developers community is aware about the development in the DNS side and how we can work in terms of ensuring that they have the information that currently we have, and also they could work proactively in resolving this issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mohammed. Karen?
This is Carolyn Hoover again. I think the points that have been made already about how ICANN can help coordinate this activity, and the point of individual registries trying to reach out to these large corporations, having ICANN on our side or coordinating that would be very, very helpful. But a lot of the comments, I don't want to repeat them in order to give people time to ask questions. But in moving on to how ICANN can actually promote universal acceptance, I think one thing is to look at using the new GTLD publicity vehicles to make programmers and technical people aware of this. I actually do handling all facets of a small TLD, I actually do talk to programmers from time to time that are working with people setting up websites. They've never heard of .coop. 10 years later, they've never heard of .coop. So I think that the new TLD publicity should talk about these issues so that people can begin addressing them on a technical level. Some of this technical information that was in the presentation
I was even not aware that ICANN had been doing even more work in that area. So, again, making that information more accessible on the ICANN website would be very helpful as well. Another point would be that if people do have problems with this, besides reporting it to specific registries, that perhaps ICANN could have a facility to let people report that non-support of particular TLDs at any level, whether it's IDN or GTLDs, so that that can be funneled through a central resource. And then finally, I think another thing to do is to, through the publicity and through ICANN, is to focus on the value to businesses that are, you know, having these issues about the value to them of accepting existing TLDs as well as new TLDs and including IDN TLDs where it's appropriate because it makes sense for their business. So I think that's one way to address, you know, the whole value proposition of why someone would accept it.
So basically raising awareness, and so on. Thank you. Okay, Andre?
Thank you. I believe that, I believe in the marketing approach, but it's a chicken and egg problem. There'll be no heavy usage of the IDNs until the IDNs are completely supported by the application. So there are probably some methods of addressing these issues to particular companies like this. You know, we know some of the IDN countries have a certain specifics. For example, Russia, it's maybe a good idea to put the requirement of IDN support for the big vendors of the telecom software and applications, including the mobile phones, as a colleague from Korea mentioned. You know, just not give a certificate to the mobile devices which are not supporting the IDN, or the mobile applications which are pre-installed on this mobile phone. I know it sounds maybe weird, but it may help. Another good idea, let me put it like this. Maybe the General Secretary of China and the Russian President can jointly address this thing to the vendors. But to be seriously, I mean, maybe this issue can be addressed through GAP, by the way. Why not? I mean, this is important. This is important thing to do. The IDN in ICANN community is a very important topic. So why don't, you know, the GAC make the joint communique, and, you know, it will be replicated through the different media and, you know, press releases. Because it's, in many cases, it's a matter of awareness and marketing. That's what I think.
Okay. I think Andre mentioned the GAC, so if other panelists can probably comment on what advisory committees or other ICANN stakeholders should be involved in this, that would be helpful as well. Wayne?
Actually, I think ICANN can play a more important role than what it is, you know, to coordinate this software vendor to adopt the existing standards. Because I was always ask myself a question: who cares about the you know, the domain name be checked and be redirected by the browser or some other software, except for the audience here and the people then sitting here. I think the registrants, they cares about the issues. I often get a phone call from my friend or some other colleagues as myself, okay, one of my friends has registered a domain name under a new TLD or under an IDN TLD, but he has no idea how to make it work. So if the developer community can, you know, get aware about the free information of the TLD and domain name standards, and the registries and the registrars can choose a certified developer as their cooperators, and will encourage their registrants to use the software to build up their own system. I think it will help the community. Thanks.
Thank you. And Kim Davis will comment as well.
So I'd actually expand on that comment and say I think most software vendors or implementers that need to fix their software don't care about this issue and will not care about this issue. And I think once you accept that, it's all about how can we convey it to them in the shortest amount of effort to implement because their attention span is low. Clearly, domain names are not central to their application or they would know about this issue already. They don't care about ICANN. They don't care about what we do. They probably never will. The fact that they're doing it wrong is a testament to that. So, and that's perfectly fine. But if we want to convince them to address the issue, we need to do it in a simple way that's focused, that explains how in the shortest amount of time, the least amount of cost, they can address the problem. And I think if we can work on that, so we're not asking them to understand the entire IDNA protocol to fix this issue, we're not asking them to understand how ICANN, IANA, or TLD registries work, but provide simple guidelines on how to improve their systems, we have the best shot at getting the small amount of time that they can devote to the subject and get it on their radar and get things fixed. So that's not to say I have the solution on exactly how to do that, but I think we just need to be mindful that any suggestion that ICANN can tell these companies here's how it should be and they're going to listen to ICANN, I think that ICANN probably holds little sway with them. I think they need to be convinced by their customers, the people that pay their bills, that this needs to be fixed. And if they can fix it at low cost, I'm sure they will. If it's hard work for them, they probably won't.
Okay. Thank you. Rem?
Thank you. So I have four suggestions specifically. First is what I'm what I'd call the external acceptance test. It's kind of derived from our own experience with the New York Times. So a few months ago, ICANN approved the .XXX TLD into the root, and there was an interesting test case for multiple reasons. But the fundamental thing was it's a three-letter TLD. And so one of the things that I did was I spoke to the CTO of ICM Registry, Len Bailey's is a good friend, and said, I'm going to send you an email from the New York Times. Let me know if you get it. And if you get it, then, you know, this is literally a few weeks after XXX got launched, right? And in that case, it actually worked. So it's an example, but really it's an external acceptance test for a TLD that goes in. Pretty straightforward and not expensive, but it's a clear solution. Obviously, over time, if the New York Times realizes that they're being used to the test, they'll fix it and have to find some other site. But the problem remains, and there's a way to find it nevertheless. The second is, I think it's important to figure out the motivation and work to address the motivations. You know, Kim was talking about least cost and fastest way to get code to ship. But I think actually a primary motivator now for application providers is user protection. You know, malicious use, poorly defined policies, no record of proper enforcement of policies. And those are things that ICANN can actually help, provide documentation. There's an internet page that ICANN maintains that provides information about TLD registries, but it's often informational about some basic information, but there is more data that can be provided, specific data that an application provider who is responsible may be able to go and look at and say, here are well-defined policies that are actually enforced. So I think that's an important thing. The second, the third idea is perhaps code promotions or code competitions. Maybe work into large, well-known programs. You know, Google has a Summer of Code, for example. And that might be an interesting way to say, here is a competition for domain-related improvements and try to spark some innovation. And the last suggestion is ICANN itself, with qualified staff, perhaps ought to be thinking about participating and informing in other events that are focused on application layers and that has people from the application side there. It's a first good step to have a session on acceptance at ICANN, but as Kim, you said, the people who care don't care about what we're talking about here, right? So we've got to go to them and be present where they are listening and where they're thinking about the issues. Thank you.
So thank you, Ram. I think that was very good, the four suggestions that you made. We, as Kim pointed out, we are aware, and if with your help we can better identify not just the type of the audience that we are trying to reach out, but who exactly you know? Not that you have to name A, B, C, D, but actually, yes, that might be very helpful. So, Michael, please.
So I think I inadvertently tried to cover all three questions the first time I talked, but let me reiterate the points that I think are relevant to two and three. You know, at the end of the day, it's the TLD operator, I think, who is most motivated in addressing the existing issues because it's their opportunity, right? So their communication and outreach plan needs to be developed well in mind and started well in advance of their launch. Now, that will help them probably hit the major software vendors and get on their get their attention, maybe get on their next release if changes need to be made and so forth. But the bigger problem, the thornier problem, is in this day and age, thanks to Android and Apple iOS and the mobile world, we have a larger population of independent garage programmers, if you will, than we've ever seen before. And they represent a lot of the working internet right now. So, again, those free code samples and libraries and an SEO program backed by ICANN to really push the attention to the top of the Google search, to push the attention to GitHub, to places where developers hang out, live, will make another huge difference. And then again, you know, for number three, I go back to another thing that ICANN has within their venue that maybe they can help out with, and that is universal choice is universal choice, right? People are going to make a decision based on their business opportunity and their security policies and maybe their payment gateway company, right, and they don't want to accept certain TLDs because of past histories with those TLDs. Whatever their reasoning, what you don't want them to do is saying no by default because they don't understand whether or not a TLD is a good TLD or not in their view, whether or not it matches up with their policies. So if we had a consistent formatted repository where TLD operators could all post their policies, their commitments, their practices in a consistent, digestible method that there could be some automation around for application developers, makers, providers, then maybe they'd say no by default less often, and maybe they'd say yes by default a little bit more.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Just a quick note. Tony wanted to comment, please.
Yes, just building on what's just been said, I guess a lot of you know that, well, at least I'm expecting a huge explosion of the use of the internet with the deployment of 4G infrastructure for mobile devices. And the mobile phone manufacturers and the carriers have clubs of developers with hundreds and thousands of independent developers and hold two or three seminars a year for them. And these are not too many actors, these companies, who could probably be factored into alerting all these developers to this issue.
Thank you, Tony. I think this is exactly the type of information and directions and help that we need from you and the community altogether, that if we determine that this is a problem and it can be addressed in a collaborative manner, then we need your help in identifying and creating a proper plan so that our actions can be effective and efficient. Edmund, please.
Thank you, Nadia. I think, you know, we can, in terms of this particular aspect of who should address these existing issues, of course, you know, there are a lot of things that ICANN itself or ICANN community can't directly do. But we have to understand that, I guess on my point of view at least, that even though that is the case, there is a role that ICANN should play, and there is, and that role is important, very critical for raising the awareness and advocacy. You know, one of which the thing is, if we don't think it's important, and if we as a community don't prioritize it as important, you know, why should anyone else care? I think that's important, and I think, you know, one of the things I observed, right now we're having an interesting photo session here. I hope the reason for having a photo session in this is to bring the GNSO counselors to this discussion as well, and, you know, and that shows the priority that I guess this particular subject has in ICANN's point of view. So I think prioritization, you know, is important, and advocacy. The other thing, that in terms of what ICANN can actually do, people often say, you know, we can't control software developers and those kind of things. There's actually one of the things that we found out is there's at least one thing that ICANN can directly do, and that is pertaining registry software and registry and registrars. At least registries and registrars in their systems should support TLDs and IDN TLDs. I'd like to perhaps ask, Afilius or Verisign or Newstar, do you currently, for contact information, not Verisign actually, the thick registries, does it support IDN TLDs at this point for contact information, for name servers? You know, those are, at least in terms of the registrars and registries, their systems, this is one thing that ICANN can, you know, directly do. If it requires a PDP, let's start it. If it doesn't, the problem, maybe it doesn't, then, you know, it's an implementation that ICANN can bring about. So, again, it comes back to prioritizing it and making it a, something that is important for the community. And I think the other direct aspect is to set aside some funding for a consistent program to outreach and how to engage the global community on this particular issue. Kim mentioned about a set of materials, and I agree very much with Kim, what Kim said in terms of the short, focused materials. One thing added to that I think ICANN could play a role in is to create sort of a checklist for new gTLDs and new IDN ccTLDs. So, because, you know, it would be very important for those that are coming into the new gTLD program and coming in as new IDN ccTLDs to know what they might bump into. So that might be another area that ICANN can contribute directly.
Well, that probably speaks to a good exchange of information and probably creating some sort of repository where people and the current TLD registry operators can share their previous experiences, that newer TLDs can get some exposure to, and probably see if the same methods that were applied in the past work for them now. So the main concern probably is, now that we're talking about this, and we're not just trying to take 1 hour and a half of your time here, we would like to get some feedback so we can better determine if there is a decision that work needs to be done, what type of work, and with whom. As we can talk as much as we want, and you probably would listen, but we would like it to be effective. So are there any comments, additional questions? Hi, Tina.
Hi. I thought it would be quick up here in case there was a long line. I think it's a really great session. There's two things I wanted to mention. One is all of the outreach and communication and all that stuff you guys are talking about. I think that is really useful. And I'll tell you, the last couple of years, I've been at several events or conferences that has been for application layer focus. And I guarantee you, there is nobody in this room, and there is nobody at the ICANN conference that was there. There was, in fact, really nobody from the domain name industry. So everybody I spoke to there, and I guess I shouldn't really say who they were, but big application developers, some of the biggest ones that we see on the internet today, had no clue whatsoever about new TLDs, IDN TLDs, like nothing at all. And they were actually really excited to get the information. So Nadia, I'd love to share with you what events I've been at, name them A, B, C, D afterwards so we don't take time. And you can hopefully get a budget and go there and communicate with them as well. The other area I want to mention is, and I think is an area that I think you guys have been maybe a little too polite on today on the panel, in my mind. I think it's really unfortunate to see application developers decide what TLDs they think are safe and which are not safe. I think it's really unfortunate because that gives the user a very different experience depending on where they go. And it's not that I'm naive enough to think that that problem can go completely away, but I do think ICANN as the organization, not as a community, but the organization, has a larger role in explaining a little bit more about all the good things that you guys do, and especially around compliance, you know, specifically in IDNs, on the IDN guidelines, and maybe other things like that, so that we can try to get away from individual application developers sitting with their internal technical staff deciding what they think is safe or not. And I agree that they had a need to do that in the past. I really hope that they won't have a need to do that in the future, because that's going to be a problem for all of us.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, one more comment.
Hello. I'm Jordan Buchanan from Google. I noticed that...
That's the guy we need.
Noticed a few people mentioned interactions with Google during the panel today. And I certainly want to make a couple points. One is certainly I think we're very interested in trying to work through these issues with everyone. As with, you know, I think in addition to there being, you know, a lot of very small development shops in the world, there's very big ones as well. And, you know, even when you solve the problem in one place in a big development shop, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to get solved everywhere, which, you know, maybe some of the experiences that you guys are running into. But I think more importantly, I do think, you know, the notion that, you know, was mentioned from the Korean representative is of having some sort of convening forum where we can get together and talk about these issues is really important. There's just no way for us to have productive dialogue with the TLD community today. And, you know, so all of you have to come and have individual interactions with, you know, with tons of companies, and being able to have a broader discussion about it, I think, would be really productive.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to cut you short. There are a couple of people who want to comment, but don't go.
Okay? Sure.
Next one, please.
My name is Dennis Jennings, and I'm just a suggestion. I'm interested that this session and the comments are all focused from a technical perspective. If I bought a product that didn't work, I'd send it back and demand my money back. So you should be talking to the product managers, the marketing people, and hit these so-and-sos where it hurts. Don't pay for these things. Send them back. If I got a phone that didn't work, by my definition of work as I've been sold, I'd want my money back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry.
1 second, Kim wants to comment.
I was going
to
say, I think part of the problem there is you think the domain doesn't work, not your software. So.
Okay, Patrick, please.
So you would send back the domain, right?
Within the first 5 days.
Yeah. Patrick Feldstrom, Chair of ESSEC, I would like to thank you for this session, that everything turned out really, really well. We also showed a lot of the problems that exist regarding, for example, like the static lists and stuff for domain names. One thing I do see is also what Tina pointed out, the discrepancy between what the ICANN community and the ones that participate in this process do feel, for example, what kind of domain names are, if you look at the international domain names, are safe or not, and what is happening in the software development community, where currently there are some discussions also in the ITF on coming that they saw that the web browser vendors and others try to coordinate, for example, what characters should be allowed in domain names in display and when should an A label be displayed instead of a U label. So that kind of like cross-communication between the ICANN community and software community is extremely important, because as what I see today is an increased number of sort of interest or developing a subset of the characters that we think are safe is what the software community is currently developing. Whether that is a sign that we in the ICANN community has been too nice and allowed too much or not, I don't know. But the biggest problem, as Tina pointed out, is the lack of communication. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick, so much. We would love to get more feedback from ESSEC and help us better define which way to go. We are wrapping up. Thank you, everyone. And please email us or contact us and work with us. Thank you.